MBTA riders are expressing unprecedented frustration and anger at the transit agency's recently proposed service cuts and fare hikes. So much so that at a public hearing this week, police were called in to help control a crowd of more than 400 people who packed an auditorium at the Boston Public Library.
I understand that the proposed fare increase and service cuts that the MBTA has put out, they're the fault of the legislature.
T riders are being told this evening that they need to choose between two equally rotten proposals for cuts.
If you want boycott, you want us to walk, we will walk.
Well, the riders seem to be turning into protesters. And today, the MBTA Advisory Board presented a different proposal, one that might soften the blow of those deep service cuts and possibly buy the MBTA some time to come up with a long-term fix for its broken finances. Paul Regan is the executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board, and he joins us now. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Paul.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's first start off by making something clear, because there are a lot of names that sound the same here. The MBTA Advisory Board represents cities and towns.
The MBTA Advisory Board represents the 175 cities and towns in the MBTA service district. Those cities and towns are assessed by the MBTA. They pay over $150 million a year. We don't control the T. We used to have considerably more influence than we do right now, but that doesn't change the fact that we're tracking all the MBTA issues. We know quite a bit about the MBTA budget, and we put forth a proposal that we hope can help close that budget problem in fiscal 13.
Okay, but this is not an official proposal from within the T.
No.
Okay.
In fact, I'll be sitting down with the general manager next week to go through the details of it.
All right. So,
with him.
So to go through the details with us now, what are you proposing for the next year for the MBTA?
Well, we looked at the MBTA's proposal, and we've been going to all of the fair hearings as well, and we've heard the reaction to it. The MBTA proposal is pretty extreme, but what it is really just uses the tools in the MBTA's toolbox and not the whole MassDOT toolbox. So we suggested, instead of the fare hikes that the 35 to 43% that the T proposed, a fare hike of 25%
across the board.
Across the board, with less of the targeted spikes for the fares for the elderly and for students. We anticipate conservatively that would generate $75 million. Next, we found $71 million in MassDOT efficiencies that, in allocating costs more equitably throughout the transportation and other state agencies. For instance, we are going to advocate that 36.3% of the security costs that the MBTA absorbs go to a different department, say public safety.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is, I mentioned that there's 175 cities and towns in a district. It's half the Commonwealth. The MBTA police, which is about a 250-member force, is too small a force for that. We think, and we have thought for years, it makes more sense to give them to the state police.
Okay, so state police absorbing some of the transit security needs of the T. Then you've also suggested transferring ferry and commuter boat service to Massport, and ferry and waterfront-related assets also to Massport, so moving those away from the MBTA's books to another agency. And those, in combination with the more modest fare increase that you're proposing, would basically close that $160-plus million budget cap that the T is facing this year. My first question to you, Paul, in response to that is there willingness on the part of agencies like Massport that, you know, they might be struggling with their own budget concerns to take on basically what the T can't afford to do?
While the Port of Boston is not a particularly healthy organization, Massport overall is. Part of the reason that we modified our proposal from last year to just put the subsidy over in Massport and gave them the waterfront assets is because they're one of the best waterfront developers in the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. We think that the combined effort to give them both all of the property and the subsidy will allow them to do a much, much better job than the MBTA.
You've also included an interesting proposal that I haven't seen elsewhere in any official capacity, and that's the idea of soliciting some funds for not-for-profit institutions around greater Boston, or at least Massachusetts, universities, et cetera, that benefit from the T's service, and many of whom actually have their names on T stops. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. When we went to these fair hearings, what we heard were people from those organizations and institutions, their employees and their customers, talking about how they need access to them. Massachusetts funds public transportation in a very strange way. For this to be successful long term, we have to bring in all of the people who benefit. Developers, institutions, nonprofit institutions, they have to be at the table. This is a way to get them to the table. We want them to pay a share of these costs because they do benefit so much from the existence of the transit system. If the transit system goes away, if service goes away, they suffer. We're asking them to step up to the plate.
How much willingness do you see on the part of the T and also, therefore, on Beacon Hill to absorb some of, or to even take a serious look at some of these sort of outside-the-box ideas that you're coming to them with?
I think that it's progressing. I think that there's a new openness to the Massport proposals especially. I think that from the MBTA's point of view, they have... Well, they've just been slaughtered at these public meetings. Thousands of people have shown up, multiples of times of the people who've appeared at other fair hearings in the past have shown up, and with almost universal disdain for the proposals that he has put forward. I think that the T is ready to look for another proposal, so something else, because they underestimated how unpopular their proposals would be.
In the last couple seconds that we have, Paul, do you think that there's a sense on Beacon Hill, the MBTA Caucus of Legislators met this week to talk about what's essentially the third rail in financing for public transit in Massachusetts, taxes, gas tax, maybe even levying fees on travelers going through Logan. Is there motion for some sort of long-term fix, given all the outrage that people are feeling even about this one-year Band-Aid?
There has to be. Legislators who have appeared at these public hearings have voiced their own problems with the proposal, but they've also gotten an earful. There has to be a long-term solution, and we have to start now. Our plan, like the T's, is just a Band-Aid for fiscal year 2013. We have to fix it long-term.
Paul Regan is the executive director of the MBTA Advisory Board. There's a link to their proposal at our website, radioboston.org. Paul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And stay with us. Up next, a new center at UMass Boston hopes to encourage civil discourse.
Yeah, right, Anthony. Whatever. I'm not going to talk. Whatever. Whatever. Did you want to say something?
It might work.
What?
The U.S. has a long history of discussing issues civilly, right?
Civilly? No, in your dreams, Brooks.
Well, we'll try to work out a compromise next. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Usually more polite than that. This is Radio Boston.